The year of our Lord, 1776, was a tough year. We remember it for the birth of our nation, and we recall with great pride the Declaration of Independence. But that piece of paper meant little if Washington's army could not succeed. Their most effective actions were learning how to retreat. After a promising start of driving the British from Boston, the Continental Army experienced defeat after defeat. Troops suffered from disease. Many deserted. Others refused to re-enlist after completing their service and went back to their farms. There were undisciplined, contentious, poorly equipped, and often went unpaid. Some of Washington's top aides and generals even conspired to have him removed, and he learned about this by accident. Author David McCullough, in his book 1776, wrote, "From the last week of August to the last week of December, the year 1776 had been as dark a time as those devoted to the American cause had ever known. Indeed, as dark a time as any in the history of the country." End quote. On December 23rd of that year, Thomas Paine, the great writer of that period, wrote a paper called The Crisis, which begins with these now familiar lines. "These are the times that try men's souls." Let's pray. Lord, as we enter a new year, as we recall the year that has now passed, and we think of some of the trying times we've been through, we realize there have been other trying times in our lifetimes and certainly in our history and in the course of the world history. There have been trying times for believers, and yet we want to enter this new year with a sense of promise and hope and trust and faith in you. So we pray you'd guide us to understand how you could increase our faith this day for this year of 2021. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know how you personally took this last year. For most, it has been difficult, and for some, it's been tragic. We've had our share of misfortune and of affliction. Most are glad 2020 is in the rear view mirror. I saw a front page headline in the Wall Street Journal 2 weeks ago that read, "A burning desire to say bye to 2020. Some send off year by setting fire to calendars." Perhaps our New Year's resolution for 2021 should be, don't talk about 2020. After Joshua led Israel to conquer the promised land, he gave a farewell address, and he had been through lots of turmoil, 40 years in the wilderness and then years to conquer the nations that were in the promised land. But after all that was complete, he gave this farewell address. After all their trials and tribulations and conflict and war, battle-hardened and weary, the time was ripe to make a statement, to boldly declare in whom they would trust. So Joshua says, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." While our transition here from 2020 to 2021 may not carry the significance of Israel's conquest or our young nation's hard-fought year of 1776, it is a good time to indicate our own commitment to trusting God with our future. Instead of making New Year's resolutions, I thought it would be better for Pierce, for all of us, to simply renew our faith. There are three reasons for this from this passage in Joshua. And the first is that faith decides. "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve," Joshua said. Faith in God is a choice, a decision. No one can be coerced or ordered into God's kingdom. We cannot be driven there or forced into it, nor can we be kept out of it if we choose. It's a path that we decide to go on at the expense of all other paths. If you do not choose God, you will still serve something or someone. You may make yourself a god, small g. Maybe the pursuit of wealth or material things will consume you. You may desire to accumulate status or material goods or reputation, but regardless, you are still choosing to worship something that you will make sacrifices for, whether it's your career, your family, your ego, your finances, or pleasure. Kyle Eidelman, in his book Gods at War, says, "All of us are worshipers. Worship is hardwired in who we are." End quote. Everyone is going to worship something. We are created to be worshipers. as birds were created to fly and cheetahs were created to run. It's what we do. And the question for us as believers, as Pierce Church, is to say what or who will be the object of our worship. Joshua identifies other gods that the Israelites could choose, those from their past or those from the culture around them. He says, the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. They had options. When Abraham put his faith in the true God, God called him to leave his homeland and his gods, which he did. He led his family to worship the one true God. And so the Israelites, throughout their history, would constantly be reminded of the God of their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then God revealed himself to Moses on Mount Horeb and called himself by his name. He said, I am Yahweh, Jehovah. He led the Israelites to Mount Sinai when he gave them the Ten Commandments, but they too often found it hard to give up their pagan gods, even making a golden calf when Moses was on the mountain. The Israelites wanted to be like everyone else, even desiring to return to slavery in Egypt at times when the going got tough in the wilderness. They wanted to go back to the old habits and ways, and we do the same thing when we get in a bind. One of the hardest things for a criminal who has served time in jail is to start over again in a new life once the criminal gets out. The definition of recidivism is the tendency of a convicted criminal to reoffend. The relationships of the past call out to the criminal, often leading him back into the life that was led before. We can do the same thing in our life as followers of Christ. You know, Satan can kind of get in and disrupt our plans and our best dreams and resolutions and goals. We make a break from sin by repenting and asking God to forgive us, and we turn toward him, but then we can be tempted to go back to other ways, other choices, other lifestyles and relationships that we'd known before. Like grooves in a vinyl record. Do you remember those? Like grooves in a record, we get stuck in old patterns. In making a break from the past, we need to learn new habits. We need to renew our lives with some practices that may be different than what we've known before. We might call them spiritual disciplines. We need to form new relationships with people in the family of God that will help us get on the right track. That's why Joshua says, throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped. When I worked at Robert Wesleyan College, we used to have an office Christmas party every year. And every year we would do these white elephant gifts, and someone would wrap the same ugly porcelain gnome in different packaging and paper with ribbons and bows, and it would always end up going to a new home. We would always have a good time laughing to see who got stuck with a gnome for the year. But it's not really funny when we keep wrapping and passing around old gods that have been discarded or should have been discarded long ago. So I ask the question, are you carrying around some baggage of old gods that still have your attention and keep you from following Christ? Things like pride or selfish ambition or some habits that you carry or bitterness in your soul towards someone or just willfulness that you have to turn and go your own way. Or perhaps it's the issue of emotions like anger or lust. Maybe it's time to do some house cleaning, to take out the trash, to throw out the gnome, the old gods, or perhaps you need to stand firm against the cultural tides of selfishness and materialism. The Message paraphrase of Romans 12:2 says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. It's time to make a choice. You cannot follow more than one God. You can't serve God and money, it says in Matthew chapter 6. And Joshua is clear here. He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What about you? Faith decides. The second thing is that faith remembers. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt, and the Lord drove out before us all the nations. The Israelites replied to Joshua in verses 17 and 18. They remember what God has done. God had performed some amazing, miraculous signs and delivered them from Egypt. He protected them along the way in the wilderness. He took care of them for 40 years. He gave them manna and quail and water, and their shoes did not wear out. They were unmolested by their enemies. They did not get sick and die. And then, after the generation had passed that had not desired to go into the promised land and wanted to return to Egypt, and their children were now adults and ready to go into the promised land, God parted the sea, the Jordan River, and led them into the promised land, just as he had parted the Red Sea for their parents when they escaped from Egypt. And God fought their battles for them in the promised land, driving out the nations before them. They did not do this on their own. They did not deserve or achieve or win their battles on their own. God's hand was with them every step of the way. Faith remembers. And they recalled this, and it inspired them to move forward in faith. When we look back on our lives, and especially over this past year, do we acknowledge God's hand of love and mercy through it all? Faith will do that. Faith will see the good, the bad, and the ugly, and still be able to proclaim, God was with me all the way. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper that we're going to partake of today in this service, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." That is why we celebrate communion often, so we never forget the love and sacrifice of our Savior. Jesus said he came to give his life as a ransom for many. We were held hostage by sin and death and Satan, and Jesus paid the ransom we could never pay to rescue ourselves, even though we did not deserve it. Faith remembers this and all that God has done, and we give thanks because of what we remember. And in remembering and thanking God, we find strength for today, whatever it holds, and bright hope for tomorrow, whatever befalls. As God has delivered us from sin and led us into the promised land of forgiveness and grace and provision, he will continue to pardon and provide going forward, with the ultimate hope of heaven yet awaiting all who trust in him. Faith remembers this. The third thing is that faith acts. Faith acts. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Verse 14. When we read in the book of James in the New Testament, we find a very blunt statement there. Faith without works is dead. In other words, faith that does not act is not faith at all. It's seen and made apparent by its effects on our lives. If we believe something, we will act on it. We will do it. He goes on in verses 14 to 17 of James 2, he says, "Dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? For instance, you come upon an old friend dressed in rags and half starved and say, 'Good morning, friend, be clothed in Christ, be filled with the Holy Spirit,' and walk off without providing so much as a coat or a cup of soup. Where does that get you? Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense?" Friends, it doesn't get any more clear than that. Or as clear as Matthew 25 is, where Jesus told the righteous who sat on his right when the sheep and the goats were separated, that when they had clothed the naked and fed the hungry and cared for the sick or visited the prisoner, they had done it for them, for him. They had done those acts for him. Their faith was seen in their actions. After the opening line in his December 23rd, 1776 writing of the crisis, "These are the times that try men's souls," Paine went on to write these words: "The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands by it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph." End quote. On December 25th of that year, after being driven across the Delaware River into Pennsylvania, Washington recrossed the river during a snowstorm and defeated Hessian troops in Trenton, New Jersey. One brief, bright moment of light and hope came because of a small band of determined men and their leader. Following this victory, Abigail Adams wrote to her friend Mercy Otis Warren, "I am apt to think that our later misfortunes have called out the hidden excellencies of our commander-in-chief. Affliction is the good man's shining time." As I think about this past year and the new one that we are embarking on this week, I wonder if we can also consider that misfortune may call out hidden excellencies in us at Pierce. All of us who are listening to this now, especially the excellency of faith. I wonder if it can be said of us, affliction is the good person's shining time. Are we ready to put our faith into action in this year? Will faith shine in our hearts and lives in 2021 such that others will see Christ and be drawn to him? We're going to celebrate communion, the Lord's Supper. And that is about deciding to have faith, remembering with faith, and determining to act in faith as we move forward into the new year. Join me in renewing our faith in this moment and for 2021. The invitation to partake of the Lord's Supper is this: you who truly and earnestly repent of your sins, who live in love and peace with your neighbors, and who intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament for your comfort, and humbly bowing, make your honest confession to Almighty God. I'm going to invite you, as you partake and participate with me from home, wherever you're watching this, to read in this litany of renewed commitment that we're making together to be people of faith. I'll begin and then I invite you to respond. Christ Jesus has offered to be your Lord again, if you would let him. I acknowledge you as my Lord and God. I take you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for my portion, and offer myself, body and soul, as your servant. God the Father has given the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way and means of coming to him. I humbly accept Christ as the only new and living way, and sincerely commit myself to him. I renounce my own worthiness and accept you as my Lord. I renounce my own wisdom and take you for my only guide. Commit yourselves to Christ as his servants. Some services are easy and honorable. Others are difficult and humbling. Some are suitable to our inclinations and interests. Others are contrary to both. In some we may please Christ and please ourselves, but then there are other works where we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. Let me be your servant. Under your command, I will no longer be my own. I will give up myself to your will in all things, and seek your Spirit's filling to strengthen and sustain me. Be satisfied that Christ shall give you your place and work, and find contentment in him. Lord, make me what you will. I put myself into your hands. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you, or laid aside for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and with a willing heart give my all to your purpose and disposal. Amen. Now I invite you to join me in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's continue in prayer. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, send the power of your Holy Spirit upon us and on these gifts of the bread and cup. May we experience anew the suffering, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. May your Spirit help us to know in the breaking of this bread and the drinking of this cup the presence of Christ, who gave his body and blood, so that we can be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. And may your Spirit make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in service to all the world until Christ comes again with victory and we share the great heavenly banquet. Amen. On the night of his betrayal, Jesus took bread, and after he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So I invite you to take and eat in remembrance that Christ died for you, and be thankful. In like manner, after supper, Jesus took the cup, and after he had given thanks, he offered it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink of this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So I invite you now to take the cup and drink of this, all of you, in remembrance that Christ died for you, and may it preserve your soul and body unto everlasting life as you receive it with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the extreme place you went because of love for us to sacrifice yourself, to be sacrificed upon the cross for our sins and for our sakes, so that we could experience the joy of forgiveness and a restored relationship with you and the hope of life here and now and eternal life with you forever. Lord, increase our faith this day. May we be able to endure and have strength to face whatever comes our way in this new year. Lord, help us to be a people, a church. Help pierce, help all who are hearing this message be people who are willing to step out in faith in whatever ways you're calling us to do that in this year, that you may use us to make a difference in this world and to shine the light of Christ so that others will see and know you. And we pray especially for those who might be especially hurting or suffering today for whatever reason, and ask you, Lord, to minister to them through your Holy Spirit. Provide your healing, your comfort, your care, and your grace, and use us, Lord, to serve and care for one another where there are needs that we know of that we can minister to. And we give you praise and thanks for all that you do in our hearts and lives. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now I invite you to say with me this affirmation of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Amen.